This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Roshan Kanesan and you're listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. In last week's episode, insurance was one of the key elements we explored when it comes to building our financial plans. And today, I'd like to help you get started there. To help me with that, I'm speaking to Mittal Lakhani, Group CEO of iMoney Group. Welcome to the show, Mittal.
Thanks, Roshan. Thanks for having me on the show.
So to start off, Mittal, when it comes to insurance, it's broadly broken down into general and life. So I'm hoping we can break that down a little further because the subcategories are quite extensive.
Sure. So insurance on a broad-based basis is effectively broken down into two main categories. And this is typically how insurers also break it down. One is general insurance. So that typically comprises everything that is non-life insurance. And that would include your home, fire insurance, auto insurance, travel insurance, and also your medical insurance.
Right.
And then you've got life insurance, which, you know, most people are aware of what life insurance is. But life insurance itself is also broken down into four different types of insurance, or four main different types of insurance. One is your whole life, which is very simple. Then you've got your term life insurance. Then you've got endowment. And then you've got your investment-linked insurance.
Right. So before we break down life a little bit more and learn about that, can we go back to general? And I mean, it sounds pretty straightforward, medical insurance, auto insurance, sure. Home insurance, and travel. But what are the caveats here when it comes to looking at these categories?
So the key thing is these categories are very, very specific to what it is that you're trying to protect. The fundamental reason or the fundamental purpose for anyone getting insurance or anyone wanting to get insurance is more about protection and preservation. So in the case of motor insurance, it's very simple. It's about protecting the asset that you have, which is your car, and it's also protecting the way you drive and the way it impacts other people as well. The second one is your home or fire, which is typically a requirement. If you were to get a mortgage, you need to have home insurance tied back to it. And that's, again, protecting the value of the house in case something happens to your house, in case a fire breaks out. They also have insurance for burglary, so on and so forth. The third one is more around travel. So travel is whenever you're traveling. So you have the option of buying a as you travel insurance, so typically airlines like AirAsia, Malaysian Airlines, they would offer it online as part of the purchasing behavior. And that's really to cover for everything from, you know, if you have an accident or a medical issue when you're traveling, if your flights are delayed over a certain period of time, that sort of insurance comes in handy to protect for those situations. And the last one is medical. And medical and health is really to cover for anything, any sort of medical illnesses that you have, outpatient, hospitalization. It's effectively making sure that you're covered in terms of for the costs of any medical treatment that you may have in the future.
Right. So they're all very broken up, very specific. Shouldn't be any confusion there, or at least too much confusion about the function of these insurance policies.
Absolutely. I mean, for example, auto and fire insurance are very, very basic. And to a certain extent, they're also tariffed in Malaysia. So there's not even a lot in terms of the pricing disparity.
Right.
So that's pretty straightforward. I'd probably say the most complicated, if you wanted to pick one of those four, is probably medical insurance.
Right.
Because it's a lot of that devil lies in the details. So it's really about looking into what are you covered for, how much are you covered for, what illnesses do you cover. You can get a basic medical policy, and then you can also get additional riders to cover for specific. So it becomes more complex on the medical side, but the most basic is probably travel, motor, and home insurance.
Right. Back to medical for a second. Now, what are riders?
So riders are basically, you typically have a policy, which is a vanilla policy, and it may not include certain things or certain coverage, but you want to get specific coverage for that. So you would have a specific rider that you can attach that covers for that specific illness. So like a critical illness rider, for example.
So it's an add-on to the policy.
Precisely. It's an add-on to the main policy, which will cost you an additional premium. But it's the whole idea is you start somewhere. You would start with a basic coverage, and then you add additional riders, which are a bit more tailored based on what you specifically want. product.
Right, and I guess that would really help with the paradox of choice, right? If there are so many, there are a multitude of choices for you,
yep.
Starting with the basic and building up from there could be a good way to start.
Yes, yes. In most cases, you want to make sure. So the key thing with something like medical insurance is, what is the objective of you getting medical insurance? In 99% of the cases, the key reason is you want to cover for the costs of any future medical treatment. So it's about having that line of sight in terms of, okay, what do I want coverage for? And what do I want my cost to be covered for? And then on top of that, you just build, okay, so I want this specific critical illness because this is a hereditary issue in my family, or this is something that I'm a lot more prone to getting. And so you cover for those situations.
Right, because insurance in general is a very proactive financial tool, right? It's not something you get when you need it. You get it before, because insurance is only useful really when you've got it before and then an incident takes place.
Absolutely. I think to really make sure you benefit from the protection and the preservation that an insurance policy provides you, you want to make sure you want to get in advance as much as possible. The benefit of hindsight is great. It's probably too late by that point of time. So I think the key thing is you got to understand what is the objective that you're trying to drive, and at which point do you want to make that decision and say, okay, I need to buy this insurance because it's going to help me or protect me in the future. So you're absolutely right. You want to try and get it ahead of time as much as possible.
Right. So it comes back to the roadmap you have for your financial plan and what goals you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And then speaking of life, let's get into life insurance.
Sure.
So you mentioned four broad-based categories, all right?
Yep.
Whole life, term life, endowment, and investment linked.
Yep.
Now, I want to leave investment linked for the last one. Can we get into the first three?
Sure. So term life is probably the most basic type of sort of life insurance. It's very simple. You're paying, you pay a sort of a annual premium, and typically term life only covers you for a pre-agreed period of time. So you may want to get term life for, say, 20 years, and then you continue paying premium for those 20 years. If you don't die or if you don't have a permanent disability within those 20 years and the policy expires, you don't get that lump sum payment.
Right, okay.
Okay, so that's term life in its most simplistic sense. It's a payout upon the occurrence of a specific event within a specific period of time. The next one on after that is whole life insurance. Whole life insurance is the same as term life, but there's no fixed period of time. So you still get that payout irrespective of when that event happens to you that you're insured against.
Okay, so why would someone take term life over whole life?
It's purely a cost arbitrage.
Right.
So someone having to pay insurance over their whole life, as in when the event happens, versus someone who takes it for a fixed term life, you think about it from a risk perspective, you're actually underwriting the risk of a consumer for a fixed part of the term, as opposed to that actually event happening. And so the cost to the customer is very different from that perspective. And those are the main reasons why someone would get a whole life versus a term life.
So would that mean between the two products here, which would be more, which would be the cheaper option for the consumer?
In most cases, it would be the term life insurance.
Because of the limited
risk? Yes, because of the limited term and the limited risk term for a insurance company.
Right, okay. So it's about how long you want to protect yourself. Are there any other factors that play into why someone would get a term life versus a whole life insurance policy?
Look, I think the most basic reason for why people would pick one over the other would come down to cost.
Mm.
And cost is obviously a big part of the whole decision-making process as well. The second thing is around what someone's objectives are and financial goals are. So if you want to make sure that you're covered for any eventuality in your life in terms of death or permanent disability at any point in your life because you have financial dependence, then you may be willing to take on that additional cost just to make sure your dependents are covered. So very simple example, and actually it's quite interesting because I'm going through this process right now in terms of establishing life insurance. And for me, it's really about if I'm not around, what is it that my dependents need to make sure that this can still continue having the lifestyle and what the benefits that they have today as well? Whereas if you're on your own, you're a single person, you don't have that many dependents or you don't have any dependents at all, you may take a view that actually I'm just going to take it on a term life basis. The second decision that could potentially – the second decision-making process that could go into that is at which point are you getting that insurance? So if you're getting that insurance at a much later stage of your life, life and you have a good idea, or you have a sense that actually, you know, within the next 15, 20 years, because of your age, there's a much higher chance that, you know, you're either going to die or we're having such a morbid conversation, but you're going to die or have a permanent disability, yeah. then you may be more inclined to take on that term life insurance. And it may also be cheaper at that point of time than taking on the whole life insurance. So it really varies at the point in which you're taking out the insurance, what your financial goals are. Are you trying to protect in terms of other people, as well as yourself, so on and so forth.
Okay, and where does endowment play in all this?
Okay. Interesting question. So endowment is nothing apart from it's a savings and a protection scheme. So what happens is some of the premium that you're paying goes into a fixed deposit or goes into an investment scheme. And what that does is that allows you to also grow the value of that lump sum payment that you get out at the end of the day as well. So it's term life plus plus.
So there is a payment at the end irrespective of whether...
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Mitul, we've got to take a quick break.
Sure.
When we come back, we'll get into the details of an investment-linked product and what that really means, and also into the user behavior you've observed with regard to Malaysians and insurance products. We're speaking to Mitul Lakhani, Group CEO of iMoney Group. This is Ringgit & Sense. Stay tuned.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for staying with us here on Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Still in the studio with me is Mitul Lakhani, Group CEO of iMoney Group. Now, before we ended part one, Mitul, we were talking about the different insurance products that are out there, but we didn't get to the one that I think is probably one of the more complex ones, investment-linked products in terms of life insurance. Could you break that down a little for us?
Sure. You know, if you just take the name of that specific product or the category of that product, investment-linked insurance, the purpose of this specific product is to tie down protection, i.e. insurance, and the second part of it is investment-linked. So, i.e. is how can you make it into an investment-related product as well. So the idea is not only to protect whatever it is that you're trying to protect, but also trying to grow your wealth and growing your overall savings as well. So what typically happens in an investment-linked product is whatever you pay as a premium goes into, and this is undertaken typically by the insurance company that you're getting the policy from, and that product will go towards an investment fund or an investment scheme.
Right. So it's essentially a hybrid product here. It's part investment, part protection. But shouldn't we... So last week when I was talking to Steve Lim of Affin Hwang Asset Management, he made the point that we should not be keeping our insurance and investments in the same place, essentially. What's your take on that?
My personal view is I'd agree with him. I think you want to make sure you can diversify your... One, you want to diversify your risk as much as possible. Number two, you want to make sure that whatever it is your protection should be separate from what it is you're trying to grow in terms of your wealth and your investment. And having your investment separate from your insurance allows you to manage your investments more effectively and more efficiently in terms of different asset classes you want to be investing in as well.
Correct. And I think it comes back down to risk, right? If you're buying insurance, it's protection. And the last thing you want to attach to your protection is a risk element, which would come with investments.
Yep.
So if you separate them, it allows you to customize each product individually.
Yes.
So your investments can be... You can change your investments over time without affecting the underlying protection.
Yeah. However, having said all of that, I can see why there's an attractiveness about having your insurance and investment linked together. In most cases, it's probably due to you don't have to go and deal with separate investment products or providers, and you don't want to have to manage that asset diversification and so on and so forth, and you just want it all tied up into one product. Ultimately, if you think about it, if you're paying a premium, you want to try and make sure you can grow that premium in value as well to make sure you're getting growth which is higher than an inflation rate. And you're not only just preserving the value, but you're also growing the value of that investment, which at the end of the day will turn out into some sort of an insurance payout when an event happens or a life event happens.
All right. Yeah, that sounds like an episode of Ringgit & Sense on its own. The merits of investment-linked products and what you can do on the side to grow that, the different comparisons. I'll keep that in mind.
Sure.
So before we get into the user behavior, I want to bring this back down to... let's say, the individual, but also me, what's the most basic insurance plan that I can go out and get or should be the first thing on my mind?
I think before you even decide to go out and get an insurance policy, I think the most important thing you got to establish is what is it that you want out of that insurance policy? And that includes everything from at which stage of your life are you in? Are you a student? Are you fully employed? Are you single? Are you married? Are you getting close to retirement? And that really helps in terms of determining the sort of insurance you should be going out and looking for. So it's really tying it down to your financial goals at the end of the day. And then the second thing is, how much time do you have to invest in actually doing the research and really understanding all the different insurance policies out there? But going back to your original question, what's the most simplest basic type of insurance out there? I'd probably say it's term life.
Okay. And so let's go away from me right now. Let's talk about the Malaysian demographic right now. What is the most popular product you're seeing out there in terms of insurance?
Yeah. If you take a step back and you talk about, so today the insurance penetration in Malaysia, life insurance penetration is probably around 55 to 56%. And it hasn't really moved over the last sort of 3 to 4 years. And now if you exclude all the people who actually have multiple insurance policies, so as unique policy holders, that comes down to about 36%. Now, Bank Negara's mandate is to increase the insurance penetration up to 75% by 2020. And we're probably about 2 years away from that. So if you look at insurance purchasing behavior, and we're strictly speaking about life insurance today, what people are looking for, what is most popular, pretty much comes down to what is the most easiest to understand and what is the most affordable.
Okay.
Right? And it also comes down to at what age group are you within. So, for example, someone who's just started a job, who's just started working, so on and so forth, they may be looking at a very simple insurance policy. They probably can't afford a very high one because they've just started work. So they're probably looking at a very basic term life insurance policy. As they work their way through their journey, they get a house, they get mortgage insurance, so they get a home insurance on top of that. They get married, they have kids, so on and so forth. That's when they start thinking, okay, my financial goals change, and I want to make sure that my dependents are all covered for. At that point of time, they're probably looking for a more comprehensive insurance package, which is probably more along the lines of a whole life insurance. Or if they're looking to also grow the value of that premium or the investment that they're putting in, there'll be an investment-linked insurance product. So it really tends to vary depending on which age group, which demographic, and then also how much do you actually understand about, the different complexities of insurance as well.
Right. So it comes back down to your stage of life, right? So the difference between the younger generation and older generation is the amount of dependents, the assets you owe, and the more you need to protect.
Yes.
And the more you need to protect, the more you have to, the more insurance products you could be looking at.
Exactly.
Are there any, there is the narrative that young people are not getting insurance, that millennials don't know. Even with investments, there is that story. Now, are you seeing that with regard to young people? Are they staying away from insurance? Is that an issue there?
Based on the survey we did, if I remember correctly, back in 2017, we found that any people between the age of 30 and 45 of a base of about 1,500 people that we surveyed, about 86% of them were insured already. However, the interesting thing there was half of them said they would probably want to spend more at some point in the future to increase their insurance coverage. So one is just having the insurance. The second thing is, do they feel that they're adequately insured today? And that all comes down to access to products, understanding those products, and more importantly, affordability as well. So the affordability is the great example, right? So you look at it, of the B40 group in Malaysia, life insurance penetration is only at 4% versus 36% for the overall population. So affordability is a big thing when it comes to life insurance, and that's something that needs to be addressed to facilitate increasing take-up and penetration of insurance in Malaysia.
Right. So I'm guessing the number is, or at least there's a parallel to health insurance, which is why the government is coming in with this B40 health insurance plan of theirs.
Absolutely. So the government last year, when the budget, they announced the B40 protection plan, which was to be seeded by a 2 billion ringgit contribution from, I think, one of the insurance companies.
Yeah.
And the plan was to have additional insurance companies join that as well. So again, what is it about? It's all about making sure that people are adequately protected for significantly life-changing events, and also their dependents are protected as well. But how do you make that protection affordable and simple enough for people to understand?
Okay, and I'm going to try and summarize this. You tell me whether I've got this right.
Sure, will do.
So insurance is heavily based on what stage of life I'm in. If I'm not working, if I haven't really gotten into the workforce, that there isn't really a need to get insurance just yet. But as I go through the different stages, there are more assets and more dependents to protect. And then I need to, that's when I start looking at these different products, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, the two biggest constraints would be cost and availability, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head there, Roshan.
Okay, before we end, Mithul, I know there's no ideal, but I'm going to ask anyway. Is there an ideal percentage of my income that I should be putting aside for insurance?
That's a very good question. Today, there is nothing that we have seen or had in our conversation with the consumers that suggests that there's an adequate amount that needs to be put away. It all comes down to how much is it that you're trying to get cover for. So adequacy is driven more by insured amount and coverage amount as opposed to percentage of income. And then so you establish how much you want cover for. That's the first step. Then you work out, okay, how much is it going to cost? And then you work out, okay, it's going to cost too much. What can I take out? Or actually, I can afford to spend a bit more. So it really comes down to how much coverage that you want. And that all ties back to what is it you're trying to protect, what your financial goals are, so on and so forth.
Right. So what you want to protect and the affordability. I think that's pretty much what we need to know about how to get started with insurance. Yeah. Now, this conversation was kicked off because I had a conversation with Steve Lim last week on Ringgit and Sense, talking about financial planning and the different pillars involved. Insurance was one of those pillars. If you want to learn what the other pillars are, please check out the episode. It's available on the BFM app and on Spotify. Now, thank you so much for coming on the show, Mithul. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I hope to see you again soon.
Thank you very much, Roshan. It's been a pleasure to be here.
All right. Today on the show, we had Mithul Lakhani, Group CEO of iMoney Group. This was Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Up next is the 10 a.m. News Bulletin and then Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.